No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long.
Good evening. That was Sweet Honey and the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I'm joined by my co-host Kathleen Gomez, and together we hope that our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. This week, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to discuss legislation which has just been introduced to extend the time for ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. Wouldn't that be a nice gift for your mom? Equality, something she really could use. Although things have changed for women in America, they still lag far behind men in many ways. For example, even though women in general are now better educated than men, they hold more high school, associate, bachelor's, and master's degrees, although men still hold more professional and doctorate degrees, women still make only 77 cents on the dollar compared with men in the workforce. This costs the average working woman approximately $10,000 a year, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. In addition, approximately 37 million women are living in poverty in the United States. One in five working women has no health insurance, and they are 1.5 times more likely to live below the poverty line than men. It seems in many ways that the more things change for women, the more they stay the same. And today on Mother's Day is a good time to ask why. This is a complex problem that has no single answer, but one thing may be that we have never fully recognized women as part of the American dream. And today we're going to discuss what impact an amendment to the Constitution might have on making women equal in America. Before we introduce tonight's special guest, let me introduce my co-host, Kathleen Gomez. Hi, Kathleen. Happy Mother's Day. I hope your kids are waiting on you hand and foot. And as always, thanks for helping to get the conversation started.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Senator. Hello, everyone. I'm Kathleen Gomez, calling you from the Mexican border. And I'm excited about today's topic, and I'll tell you why. I kind of got a wake-up call when I was talking to you earlier, Senator. I assumed that the ERA was already part of the Constitution. And when you told me it wasn't, I was really floored because, you know, in the 70s, I was going to school. I remember us all working on it. And for some darn reason, I thought it was just already part of the Constitution. And it's interesting because I was looking at a poll that was taken in 2001 by the ERA Campaign Network of Princeton, New Jersey. And it showed that nearly all U.S. adults, 96%, believe that male and female citizens should have equal rights. The vast majority, 88%, also believe that the U.S. Constitution should make it clear that these rights are supposed to be equal. However, nearly three-quarters of the respondents, 72%, mistakenly assume that the Constitution already includes such a guarantee. And I'm part of that 72%. I just assumed it. So with that, I would like to introduce our special guest this evening, Carolyn Cook, CEO and founder of United for Equality, a group that is focused on getting the 1972 Equal Right Amendment ratified by 2015. Hello, Carolyn, and welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, Senator, for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just all fired up. I was on the Facebook sitting there saying, you all these women, you know, because everyone's going Happy Mother's Day. Mothers are the greatest. And I sat there and said, do you all realize that The ERA is not part of the Constitution. We are not protected under the Constitution at all. So I'm really excited to have you. You know, the amendment itself is pretty simple. It says equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex, that Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of the article, and that it shall take effect 2 years after ratification. Can you tell us, Carolyn, what does this mean in practical terms for women?
Okay. So what it means specifically is, when you look at our Constitution today, the only right that women have guaranteed that cannot be taken away is the right to vote. And as we've seen in more recent elections with the voter ID, that is even being questioned, that right. And so when you look at the Constitution and you think about rights for women, many people were taught, as was I, in grade school and high school, that the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause protected women. But as our Supreme Court are the interpreters of the Constitution, they look at the times of when that amendment was actually written and what was the intent. And the intent was to provide equal protection for men of all races. That did not include women. And fortunately, in 2011, Justice Scalia, I believe, did women a great favor in stating that, in his opinion, the 14th Amendment did not include women, and therefore, although our Constitution doesn't require discrimination on the basis of sex, it doesn't prohibit it either. So from a
Go ahead, Carolyn.
I was going to say, from a practical standpoint, you can sort of look at the different branches of government. From the judicial standpoint, there are currently three standards of review. And these standards of review apply to any law that is passed that would characterize a certain classification of people. By classification, I mean by race, by religion, by national origin, etc. So with these three levels, the very basic level is called rational basis scrutiny. And basically, anything can pass at that level. It would be like your age of majority, your driver's license, things of that nature. Then there's an intermediate level, and that's where the classification of sex, now sits. And that is thanks to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who actually has pushed through cases to have sex bumped up to that intermediate scrutiny standard. Then the final strict scrutiny standard means that there is just no way this law will ever pass. And that protects classifications of race, religion, and national origin. So as you can see, I give people, it's interesting, Kathleen, you said you were from Arizona. When I teach students about the ERA, I tell them that if they imagine what was going on with the rounding up immigrants and trying to deport them in Arizona, if that had been women, the federal government could not step in legally. It has no constitutional basis for saying you can't round up women and send them to another country. But yet we have the national origin protected in our Constitution, and so that was a federal violation.
I got to tell you, Carolyn, it's just amazing to me. As somebody that lives in Washington, D.C., and is constantly going around you visit the Jefferson Memorial and you see we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. You go to the Lincoln Memorial and you see 47 years ago our forefathers set forth on this nation, on this continent, a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Men get mentioned all the time. It's amazing to me that we've never mentioned women. I have to tell you that Carolyn and I met and started talking about this issue because I saw she had an equal rights button on. And I'm passionate about this issue because I was raised by women. And I saw the kind of things that they had to to put up with. My mother worked very, very hard and didn't ever get paid what she was worth. My sister was, my older sister who helped raise me, was one of the first graduates of her law school, and she had to go through a lot of extra trials and tribulations as a woman to become a lawyer in 1962. But my question to you, Carolyn, is I know that the original legislation was introduced by Alice Paul in 1923. So yeah. It's been 90 years. Can you give us a brief rundown on what's been going on with the legislation since we all think it's passed already? And what exactly is the three-state strategy?
Okay. Correct. Dr. Alice Paul, I just want to correct, because most people don't know, she was incredibly qualified to have written this legislation. She had a dual doctorate in civil law and economics at a time when most men were not even finishing high school. So in terms of her qualifications to be able to assess economically and legally what women needed in order to gain parity with men, because remember, in 1776, all men are created equal. Women right. were the property of men. So she wrote this Equal Rights Amendment, and it was actually, her original language was beautiful. It was, men and women shall have equal rights in the United States and every state where it has jurisdiction. 20 years after she wrote that, in 1943, just after the Republicans had added it to their platform in 1940, she was persuaded to change the language to its current text that Kathleen read us at the beginning of the program. The Democrats adopted the ERA to their platform 4 years later in 1944. It took Congress 50 years of debate to finally ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. And in order to amend our Constitution, you must have two-thirds of both houses of Congress, so that means the U.S. House and the Senate, and then you need three-quarters of the states, which now is 38 states. So Congress very slyly did not want the Equal Rights Amendment to pass. There was great fear about women being drafted into combat. Of course, we didn't have the draft back then. And the reality is, if Senator Brown wanted to, you know, use his influence to try to get women or men drafted today, Congress has that power to do that. But in any case, so they added a 7-year deadline on the Equal Rights Amendment. So imagine, Congress, it took 50 years to debate this. They give the states 7 years.
Right.
So in that time, they achieved 35 out of the 38 states they needed. The movement went back and said to Congress, can we have more time? Can we have another 7 years? And Congress said, no, we'll give you three. So for a total of 10 years, the final 3 years, no states ratified. So on June 30th, 1982, the ERA expired, and Congress just remained silent. So for the past 30 years, for all practical purposes, the women's movement has abandoned the ERA, thinking it was dead, and they've decided that their approach is to continue to fight women's rights piecemeal, which means, you know, the Lilly Ledbetter, the Fair Pay Act, Violence Against Women Act, CEDAW, which is the Convention to End All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Piecemeal laws which can be taken away by a single vote overnight. That's the difference between a constitutional amendment and any protection that women or men have today, is that it can be a law can be overturned by a single vote. A constitutional amendment would take exactly what I said before, two-thirds of both houses and 38 states to undo or rescind. So here we are. There were a group of brave and dedicated ERA activists that would not give up the ERA. Ironically, in 1992, the 27th Amendment to the Constitution, called the Madison Amendment, was ratified, James Madison, after 203 years. So they very shrewdly commissioned a legal analysis at the University of Virginia, which revealed that based on the fact that the ERA had been extended once by to 3 years more, and that the 27th Madison Amendment had been ratified after 203 years, this basically meant that the ERA, for all practical purposes, still remained alive before the states. So since then, women's groups in various of the 15 unratified states have continued to try to become one of those last three states needed. But the greatest obstacle that they face is that their legislatures, there's great confusion as to whether Congress would accept one of those three ratifications today after the deadline. So in 2008, having come off of Hillary Clinton's campaign, I had been in corporate America. I had decided to volunteer for her because my specialty was communications and work-life initiatives. And I saw that there was a gap between corporate America and government with regards to work-life balance, specifically targeting women, because now you have a dual-earning workforce. So that was kind of my impetus to be on Hillary's campaign. Little did I know I would have this incredible revolution of the heart by the end of her campaign, and I would be so outraged by the sexist, misogynistic treatment that she received that I thought, what can I do about this? And so I decided to start researching the ERA because I felt that we have thousands of nonprofits across America. But the flaw of that model is that while they provide incredible service directly, immediately to those in need, they cannot enact public policy the way government can. So the decision to pursue the ERA was quite easy for me because I thought if we can lay the groundwork to fix that structural flaw in our Constitution, there are so many things, both practically and even psychologically, that will start to change where it won't be commonplace that women are fighting for equal pay. It will just be sort of, you know, normal for us.
Right.
So I, based on six states, in 2009, I had become the D.C. coordinator for the ERA campaign network. Coming off of Hillary's campaign, I was angry about that she didn't win. I was watching the treatment of Sarah Palin and thinking this is not a whole lot different between either party and how they view a woman aspiring, ascending to leadership. So I drafted this resolution to urge Congress to remove the deadline for ratification of the ERA. Senator and Kathleen,
Before we go any further,
let me ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
How can we, in all good faith, be talking about giving the rights to gays? You know, the rights to these immigrants that are coming over, rights for this and that. If we cannot give women the rights of equal quality in the Constitution. I'm still in shock when I listen to you because, you know, I was in college in the 70s. I remember, you know, the fight that women had. I remember when I joined the workforce, it was 15 cents to the dollar. I mean, we've come a long way. But how did we get to this point where women have just kind of like forgotten what we fought so hard for and the fact that we didn't really get it?
Well, you know, before we go there, let me just tell you who the 15 mean states are. In case you live in one of those states, you can do something to affect this legislation. But as of today, Arizona, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, Nevada, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, and Virginia have not ratified. So we need three of those, right, Carolyn?
Yes, that is correct. I hope we get all 15, Senator. But yes, we only need three.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great with all the lip service we pay to women because they're so important in our society? I mean, I have to agree with Kathleen. I just am amazed that we have not mention them in the Constitution in 222 years. They haven't been, you know, they're not mentioned as equal members of our society, and it's just amazing to me. So, yes, I agree with you. I hope we get all 15 states, and we should. We should get – I would be happy to ratify, except the District of Columbia doesn't have a vote, as you well know. So, Kathleen, I think you had another question. Yeah.
What can women who are listening to the show right now, and like me, I live in Arizona, and I'm amazed because, you know, our governor is a woman, and you would think that this would be something she might be I mean, maybe she thinks it's actually been adopted in the Constitution, Governor Brewer. I don't know. But what is it that we can do in these states that haven't ratified to push this fight forward and get it done?
Okay. What we have it, we're pursuing a two-phased approach. The first being to pass. It's a simple resolution, which means it needs a one-vote majority in both houses to remove the deadline forever. So not extending it, we are actually eliminating it. The notion that I based my proposal in 2009 to Congress was that human rights do not expire in a democracy. Therefore, a path to equality must exist in perpetuity. Now, legal scholars and constitutional scholars will also agree that there is nothing in our Constitution about time limits. So this was actually brought about by a Supreme Court case. And it is interesting because, well, let me get back. I'm sorry, Kathleen. I could go off in tangents for days. Let me get back to what you said. So in Arizona, we have Congressman Raul Grijalva, who's an original co-sponsor. He's the only person in the House or Senate from Arizona that is currently co-sponsoring this bill. It doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to vote. If it got out of committee and it went to the floor, that's where we want to keep the pressure on them. But it's at least sort of giving their initial support that the more co-sponsors we have on a bill, the greater chance it has for being heard in committee. And in this particular case, it's the Judiciary Committee. So what women can do is they can go on to United for Equality's website, so United, the number 4, equality.com, and if they click on a tab which says the 2013-2014 Congress, what that will do is it'll bring up links to both bills. They can click on those links, read who the current co-sponsors are. If it isn't one of their members or their two senators, then there's instructions for a 1-800 toll-free number that they can call their three members of Congress, one representative and two senators, except for us in D.C. And they just tell them, they name these bill numbers, and they say, we want you to co-sponsor this. That is huge. That is top priority, because a bill will expire, as the senator will tell you, in 2 years, which means that every 2 years, if this bill hasn't gone anywhere, it needs to be reintroduced again. So that
I'm going to do that right away. Let me tell you, after the show, I'm the fire got under me. It got lit, because I am like going to do that. I'm going to know every woman that I see has got to do this in the state of Arizona and every state that doesn't have it ratified.
Well, let me also make another suggestion to you. If you go on the website, on Carolyn's website, you can also make a contribution. And I would suggest, if you want to give your mom a great gift for Mother's Day, you go on and make a contribution in her name and tell her, Mom, I stood up for you and I made a contribution in your name so that you too can be mentioned in the Constitution and you will be equal. You know, as a dad of two daughters and someone who was raised by my older sister, I can't tell you how important this is to me. I think now that we've had this conversation with Carolyn, I realize that the problems that we have in the district are very much the same. And that may be because they're both civil rights problems. You know, we have another, we are in the same situation where people, almost 80% of America thinks that we have the same rights that everybody else does, and where we're the only country in the world that, denies the rights of the people of their capital city, the same rights that everybody else has. So there's a lot of commonality here, and I think that that may relate to the fact that it's a civil rights struggle, and it seems that there are some common threads that run through all civil rights battles. But this is one that we really need to end, because 222 years is long enough for women to wait.
Absolutely. Yep. Senator, can I add one more point?
Yes, please.
As an example for you, too. the 50 states, if this federal legislation, I'm not even going to say if, when this federal legislation passes, ERA 2015 is our goal. It will require all 50 states to go back to their laws. And remember, we have laws on the books from 200 years ago when women were property. And it will ensure that these laws, if they are benefiting just men or just women, that it will be expanded to include the other. So it will go male or female to person. Can you imagine how fabulous that would be? It's not a takeaway. It's actually a gain. It's an expansion of rights for either sex. And just to give you an example of a law that was on a book in New Jersey that a Democrat and a Republican got together and thought they would look at all the laws that currently discriminate on the basis of sex, and they found a few that were covered in this article. And the one that really struck me was that women could not testify against their husbands in court. And they had a case in, you know, 2009 or something where a husband had committed murder and the star witness was his wife. And here New Jersey had this law on the books that said she couldn't testify, and they thought, oh my gosh, this guy is going to walk scot-free. Fortunately, he pled guilty, and they didn't have to watch that happen. But they quickly repealed that law just as soon as they possibly could. But can you imagine if the outcome had been differently? And so that's where it's very practical also in terms of the laws that we have on the books, that we make sure that we aren't discriminating on the basis of sex or any other classification in our society. But certainly, Kathleen, I'm with you on the fact that 50% of American society, and we are talking about rights of so many other groups, and yet the elephant in the room is the fact that women aren't equal. And second-class citizens have, we don't have the same priority in our government's eyes to petition for our needs, for what we need to be successful in our life. So truly, it's a win-win for government to recognize us and be held accountable and start to enact public policies that make sense for the 21st century, as well as it is for women to know that we are valued and we're respected in society.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, another practical issue in all this is, when was the last time you heard of legislation that doesn't cost anything? You know, the Equal Rights Amendment doesn't cost anything. You don't have to do anything except amend the law. And that in itself is amazing to me. And, you know, it's certainly time to give women not only talk. You know, we have a saying in politics that you can talk the talk, but you need to walk the walk. And now is certainly the time for us to walk the walk with women and finally enact this legislation, which, you know, as Kathleen pointed out earlier, more than 90% of America agrees. I've never heard 90% of America agree on anything. So it's amazing.
Gun control.
Yeah. Well, right. But you know, it's amazing to me that so many of us agree on this and it's still not happening. But I want to thank you for joining us today, Carolyn, to help us understand and get a national conversation started on this important issue. And I hope you come back and join us again so that we can continue talking about this and keep us informed about your progress. First of all, let me also say that the legislation that this woman has had introduced is just remarkable in the way that she's gotten it done, the support she has. It's bipartisan. She has a United States Republican senator and a Democratic senator on the bill. It's a bipartisan piece of legislation in the House in a time when we don't see many bipartisan pieces of legislation in there. So we need to support her and get this done. And I hope you'll stay in touch with us. And we're going
to
take some calls from listeners. And if you have the time, Carolyn, please stay on the phone and so that when people call in, maybe you can answer some of their questions.
That'd be great. And I'd like to talk to all those young women out there, because I remember just a year or two, I asked some high school girls, do you know what Title IX was? They had no idea. Title IX was the ability to allow women to have the same amount of, you know, pay or money to have sports in the schools. And I would say to these young women, 25 and under, you know, there was a fight that many of us fought for that you could have equal pay, to fight for all of your rights, and it's time that you step up and you make sure if you live in any of these states, you get on that phone and you call your congresspeople, you find out who's on this, and if they're not, you do it today, if not today, tomorrow. Don't let another day pass by. I am just so fired up. I just can't believe this. So now you've heard what we have to say on the issue. We want to hear what you have to say. So let's hear from America. You women out there, you moms, your dads, whatever, you guys, give us a call. The number is 888-429-5471. Again, 888-429-5471.
Yep, we're going to take a short break. We want to hear from you. We're going to play a song, especially for Mother's Day, from the late, great Etta James. Here's Tell Mama. I'll be back in a minute. Thanks. Okay, and we're back. So call us and tell us what you think. And don't forget, your mom might be listening.
And listen, I'm so fired up. I hope the women out there, and especially any of these young women, understand how serious this is. I mean, I really am a little bit freaked out about it because I don't see how we can talk about giving anyone else rights when we can't even give women. And actually, we have a caller on the line. It's Karen Rose from New Jersey. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Senator Brown and Kathleen. I'm delighted you're doing this topic today. I've been, you know, I consider myself to be, you know, reasonably knowledgeable on the need for the ERA ratification and this important legislation. But boy, did I learn a few things from your guest today too. So thank you again for bringing this issue,
sure.
Especially on Mother's Day. How appropriate is that? But, you know how I personally keep up is on Facebook. I track a group called United for Equity. They have a Facebook page. And also, I've recently taken some action myself. There's a petition to for the White House that I pulled up a second ago, and I can give you more information on that if you'd like.
Yeah.
So the link is petitions.whitehouse.gov. It's the We the People. And
yes.
They need, you know, 25. Well, they're up to 30,000 signatures right now, but, you know, I think that's only a fraction of the, you know, half the country who our women need to jump on this, especially based on some of the things you've been talking about today. I had no idea of how relevant keeping people, you know, that people assume this is already law. So,
well, I mean, what scared me too was the fact that this could just possibly just, you know, just like fall off, you know, like the end of the world, I guess, if we don't get this going. There's mm-hmm. always a chance that it could get exterminated. I mean, I'm just kind of like freaked out because I think probably Karen, you may have fought the good cause for women. And now that the women that we've let this thing just kind of, you know, just fizzle out and we're not pushing this is kind of scary to me. What do you think, Karen?
Well, yeah, I agree. And, you know, I'm going to start maybe, you know, talking this up a little bit more when I am out and about and talking to friends and, you know, keeping people's attention focused on, you know, it's a fight every day, right?
Well,
so,
but, you know, being, Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and for those of you that don't know, this is a great idea that Karen's come up with. For those of you that don't know, the White House has this website that she's given you, and if they reach a certain threshold, then the president has made a commitment to take on the whatever the issue is and address it. So we should all be, in addition to signing on to Carolyn's website, making a contribution, signing our name, we should also all be in touch with the White House, because that's a great idea.
And I would say to all those sons and brothers and fathers that this kind of basically what Carolyn was saying, it makes it about a person, not a man and a woman, but about persons being equal. Is that right?
You still with us, Carolyn?
Yes, this is Carolyn. And Senator and Kathleen, can I just also share with Karen, since she sounds like a wonderful activist, a very important point that many women, they'll first realize that they're not in the Constitution, but there is a bill that's been introduced for 30 years since the ERA expired to start all over again. Now, this bill ignores the fact that states are continuing to try to be one of those last three. This bill ignores the fact that my company, United for Equality, has put forth what we believe is far more representative of women's opinions on our equality today, that we want the deadline removed and we will go after those last three states, than it would be to insist that women start all over again from the beginning in this political climate with how Republicans and Democrats are duking it out in Congress and even in the states where they are taking away daily rights for women that were already won. Again, going back to that point that the difference between the Constitution and any old law is one vote can take it away, and a constitution is two-thirds of Congress and 38 states have to take it away. In other words, it's probably not going to get taken away. So I just want to make that point because it's very important. If women want to be equal in this constitution, they need to get behind United for Equality, LLC, because it is a David and Goliath situation. We are the outsider, the political outsider. We are not a person on Capitol Hill that has lots and lots of influence, as this congresswoman does. But right now, she is looking at possibly revising her language in order to put this out to her colleagues and get them to pass this as an amendment. Now, it would require two-thirds of both the House and the Senate. But just to give you an idea, her new ERA has the same language as the original. It has no time limit. It had 186 co-sponsors last session.
Wow.
It only needs 220 to pass. So I tell you this, that it is more urgent than you realize that women need to get behind United for Equality and say, we are not starting over, Congress, because there will be people very opposed to women's equality for fears, for greed, whatever the reason may be. And so we need to make sure that Congress knows, no, this is the path that women want to take. We are not starting over again, because we know that that would send us on a wild goose chase, and there's no way that we would pass 38 states or even Congress today.
Well, and this is a very typical maneuver to postpone civil rights. They do the same thing with the District of Columbia when they say, of course you should be equal, but you need to do this or you need to do that. So it really is a delaying tactic to make you start all over again. And it's a way to put you off. And you know that as you said earlier, Carolyn, there should be no expiration date on your civil rights. You know, we should be able to pursue this for as long as it takes. And so, yeah, I would think that the alternative legislation is nothing more than a tactic to delay things and to derail your efforts. And I agree 100%. People need to get behind you and push your legislation because it's a legislation that makes sense. And it's also the legislation that's going to get this done for women. And that's the important thing. Thanks for calling
Senator Brown,
in.
We have another call. Karen, thank you so much for calling in. And,
thank you
and
so
let's
much.
Get activated.
I'm going to write my congressman and make sure he gets on the right bill.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Karen.
We have a call. We have Mariela. I hope I'm saying it right. Marilla or something.
Marilla.
Like from Hawaii. Did I say your name? Yeah, Marilla, I guess. Is that it?
Yeah. That's
Are
it.
You there?
Yes.
Thanks
great.
For calling in, Marilla. How's the weather in Hawaii?
You're welcome. Oh, it's great, same as usual. You know, if you look at the iPhone, for example, on the little weather app, every day is the same temperature.
Oh, that's amazing.
Pretty much, within 3 to 4 degrees.
So do you have a question or a comment?
Are you fired up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you. I enjoyed listening to Carolyn's overview. And I have a question about that, and then I have a comment. And if I missed this part, my apologies because I got interrupted as I was listening to it. But what about the ERA affords us women rights since its inception that hasn't been legislated into law, like labor laws or, you know, sexual harassment laws and things like that? Can you clarify that for me, please? If you said it already, I'm sorry.
No, please don't apologize. Can I just say thank you for calling? Because Hawaii, back in 1972, was the first state to ratify the ERA within hours of its passage from the Senate out to the state. So you are an incredibly important stakeholder in this because you already ratified this amendment. So why would you want to start over again on account of three states? So the main difference between the ERA and any particular legislation that has been enacted already is that legislation can be overturned by a single vote. We watched the Violence Against Women Act not get reauthorized last session.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is how tenuous women's rights are. With a constitutional amendment, it requires the process of amending the Constitution to rescind. Once we have equality guaranteed under the Constitution, the only way to undo that would be to bring a new bill up to Congress, get it passed by 2/3 of both houses, and out to 38 states. It would be absolutely impossible because I cannot imagine that a majority of women would stand there and allow our members of Congress to overturn and make us second-class citizens again. So that's really it is the utmost foundational principle of how our government operates today. When you look at the military, they recently lifted the 1994 ban on women in combat. That was because a group sued the Department of Defense for denying women on the basis of sex, not on the basis of their qualifications, 238,000 job opportunities. We need to break with a tradition that says that men have to be this and women have to be this, and there is no gray area. And that's really what the Constitution does, is it says we're not going to have two different sets of rules for men and women in society. We are all on the same team, and we're going to play by the same rules. And then you let people decide for themselves. It's not about – equality is not about the choices one makes. It's the options one has. And women do not have equal options in our society. They don't have equal options in our military. We aren't paid equally. I mean, domestic violence and rape happen at an alarming rate to women. These are sex-based crimes. The list goes on. And I think that what we all in our generation don't realize is that when we don't learn women's history, we don't know how bad it was back then to where we are now. But if you go back and read women's history, they were fighting the same fights that we're still fighting today. Equal pay, you know, domestic violence, sexual assault. Everything was a part of society two centuries ago that is still a part of our society. So that's why we need to get this basic guarantee from our government, because they really set the stage that, you know, if we get this, it's a contract. Let me say this as another example I give people. You enter into a marriage contract. You get a credit card contract. You sign an employment contract. You know, the list goes on. A driver's license is signing a contract. Why do you want a contract signed? Well, because if the terms of the agreement aren't met, you have some recourse. Women don't really have recourse now. Betty Dukes and the Walmart case, she had to argue as a class action lawsuit on the basis of job classifications, because women aren't a protected classification. We don't have a zero tolerance policy for discriminating against women. That the ERA is in effect the 14th Amendment for women. Do you know how powerful? I mean, we all can relate to how powerful the 14th Amendment was to transform our collective consciousness. That's what's going to happen with the ERA.
And did you have a comment as well, Marilia?
I was wondering how damaging or how obstructive has the union, the AFL, and other labor unions been in their strong opposition to the ERA? And because it reminds me of the union opposition back in the 80s when they launched this intensive campaign against the ability of women to do what they called back then homework, which is really telecommuting, which is really doing work at home. And these are women, you know, doing any kind of work for factories. And basically it started out in Vermont where women were doing, you know, sort of knitting and other kinds of things for companies that, you know, were making sweaters or whatever. They had the opportunity to do it at home, and the unions launched this huge opposition to it. But it was basically because they were afraid that women, you know, wouldn't be able to unionize, and therefore it would undermine their membership. And I would imagine that it's gotten increasingly bad, given the union membership has declined precipitously, even more than it was at the time this was taking place, which was in the mid-'80s. So I was just wondering, you know, why is the AFL continuing, if they still are, to oppose the ERA?
Well, that's a great question, and I imagine that they are, because I'm sure 77 cents on a dollar suits them fine. But, Carolyn, can you answer that?
It does. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that they're opposing. They were late to the party in the 70s, but so was Eleanor Roosevelt, and that was because they really believed that protective legislation for women protected them. But what it did is it protected them out of jobs. You know, if they couldn't lift a certain weight, then they didn't qualify for a lot of jobs. If they couldn't work overtime, that disqualified for them jobs. If they couldn't work at night. So what the ERA did is said, you know, we don't want any special treatment. Can you just treat us equally, and then we'll sort of self-select what we want. So in terms of the unions, I'm so glad. That's a great question. We only have the support of one union, and that is the Coalition of Labor Union Women. So it's not even really a union. It's more like a member association.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So, and thank you for saying that, because I would love it if there are union members listening to this show that would reach out to the unions, because the support for this has to be as great as it was in the 70s. 450 organizations endorsed this legislation in the 1970s. The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, which was a nonpartisan independent agency created by Congress to advise them on civil rights matters. They testified on behalf of the ERA. They wrote an incredible 27-page report about why this was needed, and please don't let this expire. It still did. So it's disturbing to me that the unions have not gotten on this. So if you have any connections,
there are plenty of protective labor rights. You know, there is tons of labor legislation out there, you know, even ever since the late 30s with the Fair Labor Standards Act, and on and on and on. So it's just not right that they would do that.
Well, in bona fide occupational qualifications, which Carolyn was just talking about, are just amazing. Mm-hmm. If you look into it, some of the things that women have had to fight on the basis of these is just amazing. I see we have one last call. We're going to try to squeeze
so
in. Thank you, Marilia.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks. Mary, are you there? Mary from Kennett, are you there? No, I guess maybe Mary hung up.
We lost her.
But we're almost out of time anyway, so let me thank you again, Carolyn, for coming on and discussing how important this issue is to all of us. You know, which one of us hasn't had their lives profoundly affected by one or more women? I know that certainly my mother, my sister, my wife, my daughters have all been major forces in my life. I want to see them treated equally. I would say thank you for everybody for joining us. Happy Mother's Day. And to all you moms out there who always put everybody else first, I think that the time has come for America to put you first, and I hope we do this by passing the Equal Rights Amendment. Kathleen, something you want to add?
Yeah, I just can't believe we've been saying that we have to pass it. I'm totally freaked out. I just can't only say to the women, to the young women out there, let's do something now at the latest tomorrow. And so with that, I'd like to say Feliz Día de las Madres. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. And please come and join us next time as we talk about another issue. And I think we should come back and revisit this one in a couple weeks to see where we are.
Carolyn, any last thoughts from you?
Thank you both so much for helping to spread the word. Publicity at this point is the biggest hurdle that we have. And I just want to thank you for your sincere interest and support of this issue. And a happy Mother's Day, Kathleen, if you are.
Thank
and
you.
Certainly
yes.
Fathers sometimes fulfill mother roles. So, Michael, happy Mother's Father's Day to you, too.
Not me. You know, my wife says, Carolyn, that I am one of the world's great theoretical feminists. In other words, I talk the talk, but I don't necessarily walk the walk.
And I have two sons who are going to call tomorrow and make their voices known, you know, because their mama tells them to.
Fabulous. Well, we want Senator McCain and Senator Flake on board with this legislation. So I think that it would be fabulous to have more representation, and particularly in the Senate from Arizona.
Great. We'll make sure that happens.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Kathleen. Please join us next week, folks. And if you want more information on the show, go to BBS Radio and click on our webpage. We're going to be on every week at 7 o'clock, and we hope you'll join the conversation.
And
thanks so much.
4 o'clock Pacific time.
Right, 4 o'clock Pacific time. I keep on forgetting to say that because I'm on the East Coast. But for all you people on the West Coast, 4 o'clock. And join us again next Sunday, please. Thank you very much.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.